Today on Life Talk.
Godly rebuke, folks, is never designed to destroy or demoralize anyone. If it comes from God, it will never destroy you and it will never demoralize you. Okay? It comes to help us be better. It protects us from the damage of going astray. And it comes in a spirit of love every time. If it's condemning, it's not from God.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
If you were to look at my Bible, you would see that the page where today's message comes from is a little more worn out than the rest. That's because today's message is all about getting victory over worry. You know, I grew up in a family of worriers, particularly on my dad's side. I learned early on to worry about things rather than taking a more positive approach to life's problems. It took years of renewing my mind with God's Word to experience peace in tough times rather than worrying myself to death about it. And in today's message from Philippians, Paul the Apostle, who I like to call the Attitude King, is going to show us how to walk in peace rather than fear and worry. This may be the most important message in the entire series for many of you who struggle with worry like I have. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, Don't Worry About It. Last time we ended with talking about how faith is not measured by spiritual possessions, but by spiritual fruit. God never in the Word ever measures somebody's faith or equates faith with things. No, he always measures faith by spiritual fruit. Faith does not. Now, God may bless you with things. I'm not saying he doesn't. I like it when God blesses me with things. I'm not saying he doesn't. But here's what I am saying, and I want you as a church to understand that the message that godliness must and should equal financial gain is not true. Now, he goes from there into meddling. He turns his thoughts to some discord that existed among them. Now, he heard about this clearly. Somebody brought word to him all the way to Rome in prison. He's in prison, and somebody came to him and talked to him about two sisters. Uh-oh. We don't have to agree on everything. But see, you can disagree and still be of the same mind. See, I can sit down with somebody who doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I can sit down with somebody who is in a denomination, and we're not, we're interdenominational. I can sit down with somebody who doesn't think, for instance, the gift of tongues is real. That doesn't break my fellowship with them. That's not a deal breaker. I can still be of the same mind with them, which means we worship the same Christ. We're going to the same heaven. We're all going to find out who was right and who was wrong when we get there. But in the meantime, I don't have to agree, and you don't have to agree with me on every little thing. We can disagree on the non-essentials. Non-essentials. There's tons of non-essentials. And churches split over non-essentials. No, you can't do that. Mature people, listen to me, church, mature people get over this being offended over every little thing. And that's what political correctness has done to us. A false philosophy, a false worldview, a false belief system. And the whole nation is offended. I mean, you can't look the wrong way without somebody being offended with the way that you looked that way. I mean, we got a major issue in America, tons of them, and we've got a very dangerous world we're living in. Can we please stop this silly, I'm offended, you offended me. And we pick up our marbles and go home. We leave churches over the stupidest things. This is in none of my notes. But it doesn't take anything to blow somebody out of a church. Well, I got offended. They said this, did that, went there, I don't know, and I got offended. So I'm going to the next church. Well, you think you're not going to get offended there? But you know why? Because people are there. If you found a church there's no people, you might get away with not getting offended. But if you go to another church, you're going to get offended. Somebody's going to say something, look at you crossways, and you're going to be offended. Are you going to let offenses drive you, or are you going to let Jesus drive you? Are you going to be offense-driven, or are you going to be spirit-driven? So these two women, they were at each other's throats. They were offended. And Paul said, get over it. Get it together. And then he kind of let them down softly. He says in verse 3, he softens the blow. He says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. He's talking about Euodia and Syntyche. Help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We can sense in his words that he suspects they may need help in mending their differences. This breach, whatever it was deep. And so he says, help these women. Sometimes you need a mediator just to step in and listen to both sides and just say, hey, here's the way I see it. And here's what you can do and you can do to mend this right now. So help these women. Sometimes we need help. He says, help these women. But in rebuking them, he also honors them. He says, these women who labored with me in the gospel, these two quarreling women had labored with Paul in the gospel, and this issue had sidetracked them. And he wisely mentions, along with the fact that their names were written in the book of life, he says, not only did they labor with me, they're honorable in that they labor with me. They're having a problem, but they're still honorable. And he said, listen, their names are also in the book of life. They're going to heaven. Don't forget, they're going to heaven. They're just having a problem. Godly rebuke, folks, is never designed to destroy or demoralize anyone. If it comes from God, it will never destroy you, and it will never demoralize you. Okay? It comes to help us be better. It protects us from the damage of going astray. And it comes in a spirit of love every time. If it's condemning, it's not from God. Somebody said something to me a couple of weeks ago, and it stabbed me. And I drove away, and the Lord seemed to say to me, Jeff, let me ask you a question. Where did that come from? Did that come from me? Did that come from me? And I had to say, I hope not. And I knew that it had not come from the Lord. You know why? Because it was not in love. It was critical, and it was designed to stick me. And so I had to go, well, since it didn't come from the Lord, why should I care about it? Why should I care about it if it didn't come from him? Right? And I had to say to myself, if it didn't come from God, why would I worry about it? If it came from God, it would be lovingly corrective and it would help me be better, but it wasn't designed to make me better, so I threw it out the back door. Next, in verse 4, Paul returns to his constant refrain of encouraging them to rejoice. That's why we call this the joyful letter, Philippians, the joyful letter, because here he goes again. He cannot get off the subject of rejoicing. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Everybody say always.
Always.
I've never done that. Have you ever done that? Always. It helps to once again remind ourselves of where this man is writing these words from. He's chained. He's in a prison. It stinks. It's dirty. He has no freedom to do what he loves to do best, which is travel from city to city and town to town, preaching the gospel. He can't do it anymore. He's locked up. He's lost his freedom. But he says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Where in the world is he getting this? Rejoice always. No, if it was us, we'd be saying, get the best lawyer you can find to get me out of this unfair imprisonment. But no, he just says, rejoice. God's got it all under control. Rejoice. God's got it, just rejoice. Paul's answer to all the problems of life is Jesus Christ. He believed that rejoicing in Christ Jesus would dispel discord and overcome the negatives of life like distressing thoughts, setbacks, persecution, tears. He said, listen, if you want my prescription for you, I'm telling you, rejoice, do it always, make a practice of it, teach yourself to be a rejoicer, train yourself to be a rejoicer, make the choice to rejoice when you shouldn't have a reason to rejoice, learn to do it. That's my prescription. It'll keep you sane in an insane world. And folks, this is so needed in life. Life is tough. Sometimes burdens come out of nowhere that seem to crush us to the dust, don't they? Painful heartbreaks can almost make us long to leave this world. Regrets from foolish mistakes can beat us down like an invisible hammer until we groan deeply in our souls, saying with David, "My guilt overwhelms me. It's a burden too heavy to bear." The answer for Paul to all these things was rejoice in the Lord and do it all the time. Make the choice to rejoice. Can we rejoice in the Lord right now and just say, "Jesus, we're rejoicing in you." Amen. Come on, everybody. We rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Wow. Yeah, I hate to have to move on from these really powerful verses. But then in verse 5, the apostle offers another nugget of godly advice. He says, "Hey, while you're at it, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Well, I read that and I go, gentleness, what's that about? Well, the word gentleness is translated from a Greek word meaning yieldedness or selflessness. And it refers to the willingness to at any time choose the Lord's will over your own. That's what he means by gentleness. Let your gentleness be seen by all men. Let your willingness to choose his will over your own be seen as a testimony of true faith to men that are watching you. Jesus said in the garden, you all know it, "Not my will, but thine be done." Paul says, let men see your resolve to choose Christ over yourself in light of the fact and always remembering that the Lord is near. The Christian does what he does and lives how he lives with the constant awareness that Jesus could return at any moment. So when you choose God's will over your own and men and women are watching you because you've told them you're a believer, and they say, look at that. They chose their Jesus over their own desires. And that testifies. Jesus said, let your light shine in such a way that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now next, Paul deals with the biggest joy stealer I know of, the thief of worry. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Now, anxious is from a word meaning distracted or divided. It's another word for worry. And what the word tells us is it divides our attention away from one thing onto something else that we're afraid of. Worry and fear work as twin killers. Worry is fear, and fear is worry. As a matter of fact, worry is fear prolonged. You're worried about something happening you're afraid of. If you weren't afraid of it, you wouldn't worry about it. So you get a fear, then you go, uh-oh, I better worry about this because this could happen. And that's the onset of worry.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Worry destroys our ability to put full focus on the things of God and the things we ought to be focused on because we are divided, we're distracted, we're pulled away in our mind onto something we're afraid of and we're starting to worry about. Jesus told us three times in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry. He didn't say pray about it. He didn't say you might want to think about it. He said, don't do it. Don't worry. And he said, here's the three things that I don't want you to worry about. Don't worry about your life in general. Don't worry about tomorrow. And don't worry about having what you need. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about having what you need or not having what you need. Don't worry about not having your needs met. Don't worry about provision issues. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about your life as a whole. Don't worry about you. He slammed worry as having no value as a problem solver. Worry never solves anything. Worry makes problems worse. Worry doubles your trouble. Worry is like a dark room where negatives are developed. Here's what I have come to believe about worry. It's a learned response to the stresses of life. I don't think you're born a worrier. I think you learn to worry. On my dad's side, I couldn't talk to anybody on my dad's side without hearing all the things they were worried about. And my dad was a worrier. And he was always on the hamster wheel of worry, getting nowhere, just running. I realized he learned it, and his family had learned it, and I had picked it up, and my sisters had picked it up. And I found out that the devil started using what I had learned to bring me to a place of losing my peace all the time because I was worried so much about things, most of which never happened. If you grow up around worriers, you're likely a worrier yourself because you saw stresses and pressures of life coming, and the way they responded to it was not with positive thinking, but with worry. Surely this or that or the other is bound to happen. Well, how do you know? I just know it's going to happen. Well, how do you know? I just have this feeling. It's going to happen. The bad is going to happen. You better get ready because it's going to happen. Oh, what are we going to do when it does happen? And how will we handle it when it happens? And any little trigger can say, oh, here it comes. Just what I told you was going to happen. And I learned that worry is faith in reverse. Worry is sort of a satanic type of faith. As a matter of fact, worry is Satan's answer to faith. Because what is faith? It's when you have a confident expectation that something good is going to happen. What is worry? It's when you have a confident expectation something bad is going to happen. So you're believing it's going to happen. You're expecting it to happen. You're all wound up about it happening. You're already preparing for a bad report. So I had to learn to unworry. I'd learn how to worry. How do you unworry? Paul tells us. He says, let me tell you how to get rid of worry. I'm in prison. I don't know if my head's going to be lopped off, but let me tell you something. I'm not worried. I've learned how to unworry. He tells us how. In everything. Everybody say everything. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. First, says Paul, pray about what you're worried about. You say, well, I knew all this. I know the song. Oh, what needless pain we bear all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I know you know it, but do you do it? That's the biggie. Instead of worrying about it, if you catch yourself worrying about it, expecting the bad, three people in my job have already gotten the pink slip. I just know I'm next. I'm convinced I'm next. You go home to your wife, honey, I'm next. She tells the kids, he's next. If we could hear the dogs talking, the dogs are talking. Well, he's next. And the whole house is under this prophecy, right? You're worried about it. How do you get rid of that? You say, family, instead of worrying about it, let's pray. Let's pray about it. Let's take it to God in prayer. He says everything. That means everything you're worried about, take it to God in prayer. Everything. Little things, big things, medium things. Everything. If you're worried about a dime or you're worried about $10,000, pray about both. So pray about it. Don't worry about anything, but take everything to God in prayer. Then you tell God about what's stressing you. Tell God. Say, Lord, I'm really uptight. Tell God. What do you think? He's going to rebuke you for having an issue, for worrying? He already knows it. Are you going to tell him something he doesn't already know? Lord, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm truly worried. Really? You think I don't know? My Holy Spirit inside of you has already prayed for you. Pour out your heart in honesty to God. David said, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Talk to him about your worries. Place your cares in his hands. Ask him to help you, strengthen you, and uphold you. Give it to him. Cast it on to him. Now, second, once you've brought it to him, leave it there. Don't give something to God only to take it back. Don't give something to God only to take it back. Leave it where you left it. Don't go pick it up again. How do you pick it up again? You start worrying. I gave it to God. A lot of people getting pink slips. God, I give this to you. And you have peace for about 5 minutes. And then you walk away and you start thinking, once again, here it goes. And you reel that thing back in and you're worried about it now. And you've taken it out of the nail-scarred hands and you've got it back in your own mind. And Paul's message is, once you take it to him, leave it where you left it. You haven't really cast something onto God if you soon take it back by worrying about it. Third, and finally, praise about it. Praise about it. Paul says we should pray with thanksgiving. Thank and praise God for hearing you. Praise is the ultimate expression of overcoming faith. It is praise. If you can just lift up your hands and praise God after you prayed about something stressing you, you will find that that is the ultimate expression of faith, because praise says, God's got it. He heard me. It's done. Praise him. That's why we love to praise God here. Can we lift our hands and just praise God? I want you to lift your hands and say, Lord, I praise you that you've got it. You've got it. You've got my issue. You've got my problems. You've got me. You know, and you've got it, Lord. And I praise you that it's a settled issue in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just have a benefit for a minute. Praise him. Praise him. Those of you listening by radio, driving down the highway, just don't lift up your hands. Keep your hand on the wheel, but praise him right now. Right where you are, just praise him. Have a benefit. Have a praise fit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. That's how you deal with worry, but now by the Holy Spirit, he brings a promise for those who do that. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your once worried mind through Christ Jesus. Picture a door with a fully armed guard standing on both sides. You can't go through the door without going through them. That's what God's peace does for us. It stands at the door of our heart, and it refuses to let worry and fear through. The peace of God drops a sword across that door right in front of worry and fear and says, you're not entering their heart or their mind. It guards your heart and mind. You remember the popular song, in every life we have some trouble, but when you hurry, you make it double. So don't worry, be happy. I would sing it for you, but I want you staying for the next few minutes. Now let me close out with, he gives another weapon against worry, and that's what you think about. We'll close with this. Finally, brethren, if you really want to kick worry, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there's any virtue and anything praiseworthy, set your thoughts on these things. To overcome worry, we've got to bring our thoughts into line with God's word. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for doing what? Pulling down three things. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's something that holds you strong that's not of God. A stronghold holds you strongly, and it's not from God. It's a bondage. So strongholds, arguments, and high things that exalt themselves against you having a knowledge of God, and they bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is why we must be in the Word every day, because the Word goes into our mind and it brings down strongholds, it brings down arguments, it brings down negativity, it brings down fear, it brings down doubt, and it keeps your brain free, because worry is fueled by renegade thoughts that are not submitted to Christ. Doubts, unbelief, fear. But by the power of God's word and his indwelling spirit, we can learn to unworry by training our minds to think on what is virtuous and praiseworthy. And we kick out bad thoughts by putting in the good thoughts. Close with verse 9. Let's read it out loud together. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. They not only heard Paul's teachings, but they received. Learn and receive, that means they practiced them. They acted on what they'd heard. You can walk out of here in bondage to worry. You can walk out of here and worry with the best of them. So can I, or we can together practice what we just heard. Kick worry out. Don't live in worry and fear. Don't have a divided mind, but have a mind that is set free.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.